Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. A few weeks ago came news of the tragic and horrifying murder of one of Africa's most beloved wild elephants. In Kenya, a 45-year-old beauty named Sateo was reported to have been killed by poachers using poison arrows. The photos of the corpse are horrifying, showing the entire front of the head hacked off, and of course, the beautiful prized tusks nowhere to be found. The killing of elephants, rhinos, and big cats for their tusks, horns, and skins is a huge business. And amazingly, despite extensive efforts to prevent the killing by local and international governments and other organizations, the poaching continues. One recent estimate put the figure of African elephants killed in 2013 at more than 20,000. Nevertheless, there may be reason to be hopeful. First, listen to what Prince Charles recently said about this as he announced the 2014 International Conference on Illegal Wildlife Trafficking in London.
We've come together as father and son to lend our voices to the growing global effort to combat the illegal wildlife trade. A trade that has reached such unprecedented levels of killing and related violence that it now poses a grave threat, not only to the survival of some of the world's most treasured species, but also to economic and political stability in many areas around the world. Now, I've said before that we must treat the illegal wildlife trade as a battle, because it is precisely that. The rising and apparently insatiable demand, much of it from Asia, has provided an economic incentive for trafficking to become increasingly criminalized and professional. Organized bands of criminals are stealing and slaughtering elephants, rhinoceros, and tigers, as well as large numbers of other species, in a way that has never been seen before, pushing many species to the brink of extinction. They are taking these animals using the sophisticated weapons of war, assault rifles, silencers, night vision equipment, and helicopters. Unarmed park rangers are no match for these organized gangs and high-powered equipment. Tragically, many brave rangers have lost their lives while trying to save those of the animals.
I am now pleased to welcome Craig Shawley, who now serves as Vice President for Philanthropy and Marketing for African Wildlife Foundation. His vast experience in Africa includes studying mountain gorillas with Diane Fossey, directing Rwanda's Mountain Gorilla Project, and much more. Welcome to the show, Craig.
Thanks very much. Happy to be with you, Lori.
Craig, I just quoted an alarming statistic about the huge number of elephants being poached in Africa. Do you believe that figure to be accurate, and where do the numbers come from, Craig?
Well, I actually do believe those numbers are accurate, and the sad thing is that those numbers are down from years past. We've every reason to believe that that in the previous years, 2011, 2012, there's a likelihood that we lost 35,000 elephants each of those years. So the numbers recently reported by IUCN are in the 20,000 neighborhood. That's still terrifying. It's alarming, but it does actually seem as if we're beginning to win the war that Prince Charles alluded to. All of those numbers are basically collected very, very systematically via a system that is used looking at carcasses on the ground in Africa and then estimating what numbers across the continent look like. So 20,000, absolutely positively true as far as last year is concerned, and putting it in the context of previous years, it's really, really alarming and terribly terrifying.
Yeah, so sad. Craig, and the elephants are being killed primarily or only for their ivory tusks. Is that correct?
No, that's the prize, needless to say. Elephants are being killed for their tusks, and as you alluded to earlier, Sateo was killed. Here you're talking about a magnificent 45-year-old bull. It's just absolutely amazing to be in the presence of these big bulls, and they found his carcass with his head chopped off. and effectively the only thing that was taken from the carcass were the tusks. Each of his tusks probably weighed well in excess of 100 pounds, and that's all that was taken. The rest of his body was basically there with vulture scat all over it.
Craig, who is ultimately buying the product? Who are the final consumers of the tusks?
I think what we've discovered is that the big market is Asian in orientation, and so there's growing affluence in China. There are now many millionaires and billionaires, and ivory is a part of Asian and Chinese culture. Because of the recent affluence, suddenly ivory is very, very popular. There is a culture of ivory tusks being carved into beautiful art, and with the affluence, people are buying more ivory, and it's terrible in terms of the crisis that it's created.
So unlike rhino horn, there's no medicinal use?
No, there's not. There's not. As I said, there is a culture of carving ivory in China in particular. It dates back hundreds of years, many centuries, and it is truly art. There's no question about it. I mean, you can take a look at some of these carved tusks and some of the statues that have been created out of ivory. Ivory is a beautiful substance. It obviously belongs on an elephant, but there are people who cherish it for other reasons.
Is it legal to purchase or trade elephant tusks or ivory in China or Hong Kong? Can retail stores sell ivory?
Well, that's part of the problem. Needless to say, it's very, very difficult to distinguish between old ivory and new ivory. And a lot of the shops that up until relatively recently were selling ivory in China and in Hong Kong in particular were basically selling ivory as, in some cases, mammoth ivory. So ivory that dates back to the age of the mammoth. There's no test that allows you to distinguish between mammoth ivory that was collected by hunters perhaps several hundred years ago in Africa, or a tusk that was basically taken from an elephant that was killed yesterday.
So comment on Chinese government enforcement of the laws related to ivory, Craig.
I think things are improving. I mean, obviously, China recognizes at this particular point that the world is watching, that they're seeing the poaching of 35,000 elephants a year as a criminal offense against humanity. There is every likelihood that if the trend continues, we could lose elephants in our lifetime. That would be a global loss. I think the world recognizes that the market at this particular point exists in China, and so therefore China is taking a look at its laws, at regulating the ivory trade. There have been some big gains over the course of the last year. China, like the United States and a couple of other countries throughout the world, did an ivory crush. China actually took a part of its stockpile of ivory and crushed it. I think that's a signal to the world that they're beginning to recognize that, and insinuating that ivory is not a commodity that is or should be speculated on in the future. Hong Kong, probably the biggest ivory market in the world at this particular point, has committed over the course of the next year to basically destroy their entire stockpile. And so those kinds of signals internally and externally are all positive signs.
How valuable are the tusks and the finished products in China?
Well, it's probably more valuable than gold and diamonds at this particular point. So we're talking about thousands, in some cases tens of thousands of dollars, and that's the incentive for poachers on the ground. The poachers on the ground obviously are getting a relatively insignificant amount of money, but the ivory ultimately is linked to big crime syndicates, and wildlife trafficking as a whole is a multi-billion-dollar business, so it rivals the drug and human trafficking trades.
Very good. Don't go away. We're speaking to Craig Shawley. He is the Vice President for Philanthropy and Marketing for the African Wildlife Foundation. You're listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner, and I want to thank you for joining us on Animals Today. Each week, we explore the wide variety of important issues concerning the welfare of animals, how people treat them, and where they fit in our society. From whale protectors on the open seas, to lawyers in court, to scouts helping their local shelter, join me to get the latest on animal welfare news, stories, and events from around the world. And visit us on Facebook to join the conversation. That's Animals Today every week, right here on the station. 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also, make sure to visit us at animalstodayradio.com, where you can listen to any of our previous shows free. Animals Today brings you the highest quality, most up-to-date information about all animal welfare topics. Much of our support comes from the nonprofit group Advancing the Interests of Animals. Check them out at aianimals.org. That's aianimals.org. And thanks for listening.
Every day in the United States, tens of thousands of puppies and kittens are born. Unfortunately, there aren't enough homes for all these cats and dogs. One unfixed female cat and her offspring can be the source of more than 400,000 cats in 7 years. One female dog and her unfixed offspring can produce about 67,000 puppies. Too many cats and dogs are unwanted anywhere by anybody, so they end up being neglected or abandoned. Millions of healthy pets are killed in shelters annually. In the U.S., on average, 70% of the animals that enter the shelter end up getting euthanized. Fortunately, there is good news. There's a new answer to this dilemma. We can help to stop killing these animals by having our pets spayed or neutered. If you want a new pet, how about adopting one? You can rescue a cat or dog and save a life.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Buying a car can be a stressful experience. Well, TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever. Hey, it's Leah. TrueCar.com helps car buyers get rid of the fear they might overpay. Last month, over 45,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network. And TrueCar users save an average of $3,046 off MSRP. So when you're ready to buy a car, just follow three easy steps. First, go to TrueCar.com and find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and to lock in your savings. And the third step is simple. Just print out your TrueCar savings certificate and take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free, guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, and never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.
Do you make over $50,000 a year? Are you a full-time W-2 employee? How would you support your family if you lost your job? Could you survive on what state unemployment pays? Plan ahead with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance that brings you up from what state unemployment pays to 50% of your former weekly salary. If your salary is over $50,000 a year, you're a full-time W-2 employee, and you want to protect your family and assets. Call Income Assure for a free quote. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. 800-308-2249. That's 800-308-2249. See how little it costs to secure up to 50% of your salary with Income Assure Private Supplemental Unemployment Insurance. Call Income Assure now or visit us online at www.incomeassure.com/ATM. www.incomeassure.com/ATM.
Welcome back to The Animals Today. We're speaking to Craig Shawley with African Wildlife Foundation. Craig, I'd like to now ask you to paint the picture of what is happening in Africa. But first, tell us a bit about how the tusks, after they're removed from the dead elephant, are transported to China. Who's involved, and is each step in terms of transporting the product illegal?
Well, it is a process, needless to say. I mean, obviously, the elephants are typically located in national parks and in remote areas. That's where they're ranging at this particular point, and they're not equitably distributed throughout Africa. There are very, very important range states where you've got critical populations of elephants. And so, for example, in the Salu in southern Tanzania, a number of years ago a survey was done, and at that particular point the population of the Salu Reserve, one of the largest protected areas on the continent, was estimated at in excess of 50,000 elephants. Unfortunately, a new survey has just recently completed, and we now know that population probably numbers no more than 13,000. And so we're talking about a dramatic decline. In order to get tusks out of Salu, it can go through a variety of different avenues. What we're discovering is that rather than go directly out of Tanzania, there's a likelihood that it may ultimately be conduited through a country like Uganda, which is a big trafficking country at this particular point, and then it ultimately may end up in Kenya, and it may basically go out of an airport, smuggled out of an airport, or smuggled out of a seaport in Kenya, and so these are the really circuitous routes that the ivory traffickers are using in order to get ivory out of the country. And all of these steps, of course, are illegal. Elephants are a CITES-listed animal, and so the trade in any of their products, their tusks, their skin, or anything of the sort is illegal at this particular point.
As Prince Charles mentioned, are organized crime elements and terrorist groups really involved?
No, they are. They are the folks who are responsible for all of this. As I mentioned, as he mentioned, it's a multi-billion dollar business. So there's big money that is underwriting the poachers, big money that is underwriting the smugglers, and ultimately big monies are netted by the folks who are at the top of this chain. There's no question about that, and there's every reason to believe that that a lot of the instability in certain parts of Africa, the terrorism, is actually being underwritten by the poaching, the money that is netted as a result of the ivory trade or the rhino horn trade is ultimately responsible for buying weapons that ultimately are responsible for the instability.
Mm. Please describe the various people and entities involved in deterring the poaching.
Well, there are lots of people involved, needless to say. I mean, the guys on the ground are the real champions, needless to say, and those are the rangers who are basically putting their lives on the line on a daily basis. And as Prince Charles alluded to, we're losing rangers on an annual basis who are being killed by the poachers, who are certainly better equipped than are the guys on the ground. AWF actually works on a very, very regular basis with the national park authorities in many of the range state countries. So we're working with Kenya Wildlife Service. We're working with TANAPA, who's responsible for the Wildlife Authority in Tanzania, in South Africa, and elsewhere. And what we try to do is actually provide support, providing equipment and provisions and whatnot that will help turn the tide as it relates to poaching.
Why can't poaching be ended now simply by ramping up enforcement?
Well, again, I think you're talking about the money involved. We're talking about organized crime, and when you think about global attempts to shut down the drug trade, global attempts to shut down the human trafficking trade, there are a lot of people trying. There's a lot of money and a vast network of people, the good guys, who are trying to shut it down. And yet, to date, we've not been successful as far as those two things are concerned. The same thing effectively applies to wildlife trafficking at this particular point because of the money involved. It's backed by billions and billions of dollars who are trying to make it successful.
Right. What are the penalties for people convicted of poaching? Are they difficult to apprehend? And can the authorities, the rangers, shoot suspected poachers or those caught in the act?
That's a complex question. Africa is a continent of 50-plus countries, needless to say. And as I said before, elephants are not located equitably throughout the continent. But if you go country by country across the continent, the penalties differ. And up until recently, wildlife crime was treated as a relatively nominal crime, and so the penalties were not very severe at all. A guy who was caught smuggling ivory in Kenya up until recently probably received a slap on the wrist, effectively was penalized maybe $10 to $15, and then they were allowed to go free. Fortunately, Kenya has taken a look at its laws recently, as has South Africa, and so the penalties have become whole lots harsher. So I'm happy to say that Kenya arrested a poacher, a smuggler recently, and because of the new laws, that guy was penalized probably $250,000 and is spending the next six years in prison. So things are improving. They're going to have to improve continent-wide. And prosecutorial training and just allowing countries to recognize that wildlife trafficking is really a crime against their nation. Those things will take a bit of time, but I think there will be improvement in that regard.
How can listeners help end elephant poaching and the killing of protected animals in Africa, Craig?
I think it is about creating awareness. I think there are lots of people in the United States who don't recognize that immediately behind China, the U.S. is the second largest market of ivory in the world, and so it is about awareness. I had a conversation with a good friend the other day who became aware of Satao's murder. And she was terribly alarmed when she learned that up until recently 35,000 elephants a year were being killed. She was absolutely, totally, and completely surprised. She's an animal person. She wasn't aware of the situation. So awareness is very, very important. And then stepping up and providing organizations with the appropriate funding to allow us to do what we need to do is really, really important. We've got a very, very specific strategy that is all about supporting boots on the ground. We've identified 10 very important priority sites on the continent that are the last critical populations of elephants. That's where, in fact, we want to basically deliver support to partners on the ground who are waging this war. Demand reduction is very, very important, and so creating awareness campaigns that advise the Chinese of what is happening and the impact that they're having. That's all very, very important also. And we've partnered with an organization called WildAid to basically deliver an awareness campaign in China that I believe is going to change attitudes. It's going to change behavior. But these are all important elements of a very, very important strategy that I hope will win the war.
Craig Shawley with African Wildlife Foundation, thank you so much. Hi, this is Dr. Lori Kirshner from the animal welfare organization Advancing the Interests of Animals. Do you ever wonder what you can do to be nicer to animals or to help them? Here are a few things you can do to show your appreciation to our furry friends. You could donate to or volunteer at your local animal shelter. Walking the dogs and playing with the cats is a meaningful way to make a difference in the lives of homeless animals. You could be a foster parent. If you have the extra time and space, becoming a foster parent is a wonderful way to take some of the burden off our overcrowded shelters Rangers by giving an animal a loving place to live until their forever home is found. Increase your appreciation for wildlife by providing a welcoming space for butterflies, hummingbirds, and other creatures, or by simply driving cautiously through areas populated by wild animals such as deer, you are acting with compassion. These are only a few ideas to encourage you to continue thinking about your personal kindness towards animals. This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. Please visit us online at aianimals.org.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mom, you text so slow. Abbreviate. Use BTW for by the way and LOL for laugh out loud.
Well, I'm texting Dad to make a reservation at America's Best Value Inn. Got one for that?
ABVI.
ABVI?
America's Best Value Inn. Everyone knows their BVOTR, the best value on the road.
You're right. They have free internet and continental breakfast at most of their 1,000 hotels in North America, plus instant rewards with the Value Club.
You'd better text Dad to go to ABVI.com ASAP.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Geico presents Strange Savings Stories. Astronomers detected an interstellar transmission. It stated, Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. The implications were staggering. Was the cosmos telling us we could all save hundreds on car insurance with Geico? Or did their radar merely pick up a signal from the nearby Rufus and Clyde's morning show? We may never know.
Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Staples Copy and Print knows you need to promote your business.
Outdoor banners.
Detailing your one-of-a-kind product offering.
Trifold, full-color, double-sided brochures.
As you grow your business.
Business cards, postcards, car magnets.
And your customer base.
Design services, presentations, shipping.
So you go to the one place that has it all and prints it right.
Staples.
Right now, custom banners and posters start at just $6.49. Offer valid on pickup or delivery, N629. Details in-store or online at staples.com/springcopy. Staples. Make more happen.
Welcome back to Animals Today. Hi, Peter.
How are you doing?
Good.
You know, I've been thinking about the various things my pets do that sort of bother me. We have a number of dogs and cats around the house.
Bother you?
Yeah, I have to say, you know, it's not terrible, but it's just living with them. I wish I could snap my fingers, change a couple things.
I love them the way they are.
Do you?
Just the way they are.
Mm.
What bothers you?
What bothers me? Well, okay, it's not terrible, but, you know, changing the cat litter. It's a pretty ordinary task, right?
Uh-huh.
Why? They know it's coming. I'm scooping, you know, all the, you know, scooping, cleaning, and then going to replenish. Let's say that.
Replenish,
not,
okay.
Not a full deep cleaning.
Right.
Okay? So they are, it's as if they're waiting for me to put the new stuff in there.
They love that. They hold it in and wait.
How do they know?
I don't know. They know. They hold it and wait for the fresh stuff.
And I've got this in a container in a bowl.
Right.
And they must have a plan. I don't understand. So, you know, I'm trying to get just like 5 minutes where it's looking sort of clean, but no, first thing.
The last particle of kitty litter that goes in there,
yeah, and they jump right into it and then just soil it.
And then make a mess.
Oh, and that's it. Because they're so excited that they are covering it so vigorously and just the litter is going all over the place. So it's like a secondary, I see what I can do to you? It's like a control thing.
Well, it doesn't bother me because you're the one who cleans it up. So
and
it doesn't bother me at all.
I did once make the mistake of taking this transport bowl that I use to go from the big box into the individual cat tray,
uh-huh,
and setting it down on the ground for a moment. Turn my back, and there it is. It's just used.
They used your transfer bowl.
They used it.
That's great.
Where's the respect in that? I mean, come on. So it does bother me that they sort of not tidy enough. I would like to keep the cat litter in the cat box.
So is this a pet peeve?
It is a pet peeve about my... It's a pet peeve.
A pet peeve.
Yes.
I like that. Okay, another pet peeve. How about when one of us gets up in the middle of the night, goes to the bathroom...
Yes.
And one of our dogs go right smack in our place.
Yeah. I think that's a universal thing.
Is that a universal thing?
It's very... I think so. I think I've seen cartoons about that. And It's consistent. They're like on guard for that too. I mean, how you get everything all perfect with your pillows and your whatever to make yourself comfortable, and then
they're sound asleep. You go out.
That's the thing.
You leave bed very quietly,
yeah,
tiptoe to the bathroom,
yeah,
come back, and
yeah,
they're there with,
yeah,
the head on the pillow.
I know. They're not really. What is? They're not sleeping. That's right. It. There's a system.
So you have to maneuver your body around them to not disturb them.
That's a whole other discussion.
That's a whole contortion.
Dog contortion sleeping, which has ruined so many productive hours the next day when you're trying to give your pet, your dog, a little space there. And you wake up exhausted.
That makes us sleep deprived. That's the reason we are sleep deprived.
Yes, that's it.
Okay, another pet peeve.
Yes.
Let's see.
You know, this one I think is also killing the economy, and that is when you have a cat and he or she is attracted to your computer keyboard and steps all over it, deletes your files, changes the aspect ratio of your screen, which definitely has happened to us.
Many times.
And then you're just stuck. And I don't know what it is about cats, but they seem to want to crawl onto your computer.
They want to settle right on the keyboard.
Well, that's one aspect of it. But just walking across, I mean, you can leave the room, and if the cat's there, they will just sort of walk across your keyboard and mess up everything.
Right.
And then you're back and you say, what happened? And Peter, what did you do to my computer? And I'm trying to blame it on the cat. You're very skeptical. I understand the skepticism. Mm-hmm. I get blamed for a lot of stuff around here. But this one, I'm blaming it on the cat. And we have spent many hours trying to fix this. And there ought to be a law.
You know what?
Or a device.
But you are right. I tend to blame it on you. I come back. It's all messed up. Peter, were you sitting at my computer desk?
I've got forensics on this, too. I've got hair and everything, and it doesn't get me anywhere. In fact, So that kills productivity, and that translates to something with the GDP, don't you think?
I think so.
Okay, so let's say we are going into our work area, and we've got a document that we need to look at, a piece of paper or a folder or whatever. You set it on the surface. The cat is watching you do this, planning, got the whole thing ready, and then you set it down there, you turn your head, and the cat is sitting right on your document.
That's right.
And as if it's the most plush bed you could imagine. It's velvet. It's whatever. And then they are sitting on it as if it's the perfect thing.
They like these new surfaces.
And what do people do there? Most people would shoo the cat away?
No.
You sort of wait until the cat is ready to go somewhere else.
Right. We have to do other work.
Other.
Okay. Very good. Very good, Elton. We're going to do some other work now. Okay. Let us know when you're ready to get up.
No, we're not interested in that document. We don't care about that paper. Okay.
You just relax, and then the cat pretends he's asleep.
Yes.
So you can't bother him.
You can't bother him either. Another control issue.
Right. And they do control us.
But the cats do seem to like novel surfaces, don't they?
Yeah, they sure do.
But especially ones that are particularly important at that moment to us.
Of course.
That just heightens the game.
I'm telling you, they plan it. They plan it.
Yes. Well, there's another thing that our cats also, and this can't be just unique to us, but you are just playing with your cat. Maybe you are wrestling a little bit, or you've got a little toy and a string or something like that.
Or you're petting the cat.
Petting the cat. And you think things are just going along fine. It's a nice cat bonding experience, and you have to sort of take them when you come. You really can't control when it's going to happen, right? That's
right.
The nature of cats. And things are going fine, and all of a sudden, there is a paw against the face or your wrist and a claw. And before you know it,
your arm is bloody.
There's blood, and the cat is not. Cat's just playing.
Like, what did you do?
And the thing about it is it's just surprising. You think things are going along fine,
yeah.
And you don't anticipate, before you know it, there's going to be blood. And it's shocking. Oh, it happened to me today. Look what's on my wrist.
Oh, my goodness.
And in fact, I've become pretty good at looking at people's hands and wrists and deciding if they have cats at home or not just by checking them out. I mean, they're pretty distinctive, these little scars.
I know. That's how you tell if a person has a cat.
Is that how you tell?
I think that's how you tell.
I thought I invented that myself, but I guess, okay, that's how you tell.
Yeah, okay.
If you're on a first date with someone, you can learn a lot.
Let me look at your arms.
Yeah.
Any track marks there? Let me look at your arms.
I know.
Okay, another cat pet peeve.
Go ahead.
Ready? Yeah. Pet peeve. Okay, you offer your cat some food. You know the cat loves that food.
Yeah.
Then you say, okay, let's buy maybe something else.
Yes.
The cat loves that second food.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then you try.
You go back.
To go back.
Yeah.
And what does the cat do?
No.
It looks at you like, what the heck?
Yeah.
Where's the other stuff?
You're right. That's it.
Now you have 10 cans or whatever you feel just in your refrigerator or in your cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You can't go back.
You can't go back.
Not only that, they are going to make you suffer.
Right.
I mean, you just can't say, oh, maybe I'll try it again tomorrow, and you'll change your mind.
Right.
It's like flicking a switch. And you're done.
Right.
And you've got a whole stock load of perfectly good cat food that is no longer palatable.
And they look at you like, what are you doing?
It was perfectly good a couple of days ago.
Yeah,
and now
I don't know.
It's just like throwing them trash.
You tried a better quality food or better tasting food. That's it. Okay. Another pet peeve.
Oh, this one involves a dog.
Oh.
And our dog does this. I don't understand this. I'm sure a lot of dog behavior people understand this. But you're out and you're encouraging, you're out walking the dog on the leash, and the dog lifts his leg in this case, right? And nothing happens.
The bladder's empty.
Bladder's empty.
Not a drop.
They're just like waving.
Right. So is that marking? Is that called marking?
I wonder.
Of just lifting the leg and nothing comes out.
Yeah. I don't know if that. Well, it's like a symbol, symbolic. It's
right,
a
right.
wave to a previous episode. Right? They're just saying, okay, I recognize that you're there. I'm going to send my regards. It's like it's like a little message. I don't understand why that does it. On one hand, it's so associated with elimination, and then it's sort of some social connection. I don't understand that at all.
Well, okay, that's a good list of pet peeves.
Okay, well, I'd
Very
like to
good.
Hear if other listeners have any pet peeves about their dogs or cats. Let us know, and we will share them.
Good. And check us out at animalstodayradio.com. You can always email me at Dr. Lori, D-R-L-O-R-I, at animalstodayradio.com. Thanks for tuning in. Don't go away.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute.
This message is sponsored by Advancing the Interests of Animals. You can check them out at aianimals.org. That's the letter A, aianimals.org.
Now is the time for new flooring in your home because Lumber Liquidators has every floor on sale with the end of quarter clearance sale on right now. Get huge savings on all flooring like quick click pre-finished hardwood for $169 a square foot, solid hand-scraped horizontal bamboo for $179, and this weekend only get 8mm cherry laminate for just 69 cents. So go to LumberLiquidators.com to find the store nearest to you. Special 24-month financing is available, but hurry, this end of quarter clearance sale ends this Monday.
This next song goes out to someone real special, web developers. You've developed a worldwide web of convenience, and Geico.com is eternally grateful. Now everyone can pay bills, manage policies, maybe save big money on car insurance, all from the comfort of their desk chairs, recliners, and water beds. You're magicians with wands made of binary code, and that's why we're sending this next song out to you. For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com.
Does the economy woes and the stock market volatility have you concerned about your ability to invest for retirement? Did you know that you can diversify part or all your retirement into more secure and potentially more lucrative investments? iDirect can show you how to buy real estate, tax liens, and more inside your IRA or 401k rollover. The investment opportunities are really limitless. You don't need to be at the mercy of the stock market with your IRA or 401k. You have options. Call now to learn more about buying alternative investments inside your retirement plan. To get the most value for this investment, you must have $25,000 in rollable retirement funds. Call iDirect now and get the info packet on self-directed IRA investing. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. 877-278-1030. That's 877-278-1030.
Mom, you text so slow. Abbreviate. Use BTW for by the way and LOL for laugh out loud.
Well, I'm texting Dad to make a reservation at America's Best Value Inn. Got one for that?
ABVI.
ABVI?
America's Best Value Inn. Everyone knows their BVOTR, the best value on the road.
You're right. They have free internet and continental breakfast at most of their 1,000 hotels in North America, plus instant rewards with the Value Club.
You'd better text Dad to go to ABVI.com ASAP.
Safety, safety, safety. I'm saying it three times. Studies show you need to hear something three times to remember it. So remember, safety, safety, safety is important to me, me, me. That's why I love Grainger. Grainger has the products to help keep our facilities safe and people safer. Say it with me, kid. Safety, safety, safety from Grainger, Grainger, Grainger. When you think safety, think Grainger. Get it? Got it? Good. Call clickgrainger.com/safety or stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
How you doing?
Good. What's in the news?
Well, I've got a couple things for you. First, in New York State, the mute swans. Remember the mute swans? These are the these beautiful swans that were introduced in the 1800s to New York, and they were going to beautify the parks.
Yes.
And they've just been multiplying, and now they are felt to be an invasive and maybe a pest and cause ruining the ecosystem. And so,
a nuisance, so let's kill them.
So the Department of Environmental Conservation wanted to eradicate them and does still want to do it. And we talked about this a few months ago. They've got a plan to get rid of all of them by 2025. And apparently there's a lot of resistance to this, as we anticipated. And a two-year reprieve has just been passed by the New York legislature, waiting for the governor to sign it, led by Senator Tony Vella, who we're going to observe whether some other solutions can be put forth in the next 2 years. They're calling for more study. Apparently, the claims that they are damaging and invasive and hurting the environment have not been adequately proven. So the swans are still around.
They're beautiful animals.
They're beautiful. But there are swan haters out there.
Yeah, I know. So, it's sad, though. We put them there.
What do you do when you put them there?
And we put them there.
100
right.
years ago.
Right.
And, we have to get rid of them.
Right.
And some of the methods are not desirable, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Our friend Will Potter is got an interesting little project going on. Remember Will Potter? He's a journalist.
Sure.
He wrote a great book called Green is the New Red. We had him on the show September 2013. You can go to the archives and listen to a great interview with a guy who really is exposing what happens when animal activists and environmentalists get labeled as terrorists and all the bad things that befall them when that happens. Well, he is particularly interested in the ag-gag laws around the country in various states. These are laws, if you haven't heard about them, that make illegal capturing photos and videos surreptitiously within agricultural facilities, such as slaughterhouses or places where animals are raised for consumption. So a lot of states have passed these laws, and they are basically felt to be an impediment to free speech. And nonetheless, they are pushed hard by the agricultural lobby. So Will has got a new Kickstarter campaign. You can go to Kickstarter, and he wants to use drones, aerial drones, to photo document and video what's going on behind the gates.
So is that going to be legal?
It is. Apparently, that's a little problem in his plan, and despite the fact that he's already raised $30,000 toward this in only 5 days and now wants to raise $95,000, it is not necessarily legal what he wishes to do. And how that gets played out is not clear to me.
Yeah, if you have an ag-gag law in a certain state, so it's illegal for you to film
illegal activity.
It's an illegal activity
for you to film
activities or abuse going on in these factory farms. And
now, some of the videos that have been released by various individuals and groups, there are some groups that specialize in this.
Right.
They are shocking, and they really depict employees doing definitely illegal activities.
But this
that are
is
extremely cruel.
This is great that they're out there doing this.
I totally support them. They're brave, and they are really showing the country what's happening behind closed doors about where your food comes from.
Right.
I mean, what happens? And yet, it's frequently not legal to obtain this footage.
So he's trying to find an alternate way to obtain the footage via drones.
Yes. So go to Kickstarter and check out what he's up to.
Yeah.
Will is a beacon of sanity in a crazy legal system we have here.
Well, I hope he's successful.
Yes. Class action. We love class action lawsuits, don't we? One is apparently ready to be sealed between Nestle Purina Pet Care Company, Wagon Train LLC, related to their jerky pet treats, which either killed or injured many animals. And the members of the class are going to receive some kind of compensation. There are allegedly more than 1,000 deaths in dogs, more than 100 complaints about animal illnesses, and even though we were never really able to make a definite scientific connection between these jerky treats, the animals ate chicken, sweet potato, or other products from China, apparently the settlement is about to be agreed upon. $6.5 million fund set up mostly for the lawyers, and then a little bit for the people who had their pets injured or killed.
So these products are off the market, correct?
These products are, it's variable. It's hard to really group exactly what you're talking about here. But I'll tell you, there are other forces in play here. For instance, Petco and PetSmart have announced they would no longer sell jerky treats made in China altogether. And other companies are, a part of the agreement, Purina, for instance, said they need to go into the factories to enhance the quality assurance measures as part of the agreement. But it looks like the market forces are going to take over. If your two biggest retailers are going to opt out of China, that says a lot here.
Right, but in the interim, consumers and dog owners should be aware that they're buying something to see where it's coming from, I guess.
My personal opinion, I'd avoid Chinese jerky treats, personal opinion.
Okay, personal opinion is a good one. That's a good one.
And the 2014 edition of International Homeless Animals Day, that's the yearly commemoration in honor of all the millions of dogs and cats who don't have homes or who are killed because of pet overpopulation, that will be on August 26, 2014. The Coachella Valley edition of this commemoration will occur on that date, and we invite you to come if you live in the Southern California desert area or anywhere in Southern California. Check out the website aianimals.org for more specific information about venue and the time. We are pleased to welcome Bob Ferber, former L.A. animal cruelty prosecutor, and Paul Koretz from the Los Angeles City Council, where he is a council member. They will be our special guest speakers. So check it out at aianimals.org.
And that is Advancing the Interests of Animals. They are the primary sponsors of Animals Today, aianimals.org. Thank you, Peter. And thank you for listening to Animals Today. This is Dr. Lori Kirshner encouraging you to nurture your love and compassion for the only other beings sharing our planet. The animals.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or service. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com.